Welcome to the Game Day Cube NHL show, episode number 3. On today's podcast, we will do our Central Division off-season recap, going over a very highly contested division last year and expected to be a highly contested division going into this year. It has the defending Stanley Cup champion St. Louis Blues, something that has never been said before, but is said now. The Blues didn't do anything specifically major in regards to proving their team, other than making sure that their team came back pretty much as a complete unit. The big question that St. Louis is going to have to deal with is whether they can continue to stay hot, which is unlikely, as hot as they were over the last 4 months of the season after January 1st, that led to their unexpected run into the playoffs and then their very strong playoff run where they just wouldn't be denied and won, winning the Stanley Cup and hoisting the Stanley Cup, getting strong play from all four lines, and then the emergence of Jordan Bennington. Can Bennington continue to play at that level in between the pipes? It's going to be a big question on whether the Blues can continue to or get back into the playoffs and defend their championship. The reason why I say get back into playoffs, mainly because this division is so difficult. If you look at and you go through each individual team after St. Louis, take Colorado. The Avalanche made the playoffs last year. Then they've doubled down with that great lineup with Landeskog and Rantanen. And they bring in Nazem Kadri, Andrei Burakovsky, and Jonas Donskoy. This team is set up to make a deep run in the playoffs next year if they get in. The Avalanche have a really, really strong squad going for it. They did a really good job in the offseason in improving their overall club. The Stars made the playoffs last year. A lot of people weren't expecting that. Another team that, if they get strong goaltending like they did last year with from Ben Bishop, and get great play from guys like Jamie Benn and some of their other veterans, another team that could definitely make a run at competing not only for the playoffs, but going deep this upcoming season into May and in June, as they were able to win their first playoff series, but were beaten by St. Louis in round two this past season. But that series went to 7 games, so, and Dallas was up in the series 3-2, I believe. So they definitely had an opportunity to also do what St. Louis did and make it all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. But the Stars are definitely a serious threat to win the division and also make it to that Stanley Cup final. So definitely a team to keep on your radar. Nashville, another really good team. They lose PK Subban, but that was purposeful so that could set up their ability to bring in Matt Duchene, who signs for a long-term deal. They still are very good on the defense with Roman Josi still there. You have Pekka Rinne, one of your best goaltenders in the league. They have, as a nucleus, reached the Stanley Cup Finals before, so they know what it takes to get there. Another very strong team in a very strong division. That's just 4 teams right there. And we didn't even talk about Winnipeg. Winnipeg lost defenseman Jacob Trouba and Tyler Myers to free agency. And they didn't make any major deals to bring anybody in this offseason, but they still have a very talented front line of offensive weapons. They may trade one of those offensive weapons for a defenseman before it's all said and done, maybe for the season or sometime during the season, depending on how it goes. But right now, they're staying in pat with what they have. And it's a team that's definitely playoff worthy, playoff caliber. And right now, in this division, they may be the odd man looking out, if you want to say St. Louis. Because being the defending champions would be one of the four teams that would be making a run for the playoffs or making the playoffs. I know only three are guaranteed spots, but usually four teams get in from each division. In Nashville, Dallas, and Colorado improve their clubs. That puts a lot of pressure on Winnipeg. They necessarily didn't improve their club to stay in the conversation. Once you around that 4 or 5 mark, and some people would say they're probably the fifth best now, what difference a couple of years makes, it's going to make it very, very difficult to make the playoffs. The Minnesota Wild signed Matt Zuccarello to a 5-year deal. Made a few other signings, but their big splash was Zuccarello. They are a good club. But in this division, it's going to be very hard to break through and make your way up. The division always lends yourself into understanding how good a team really is. I think the Wild are definitely an 80-plus point team, maybe even a 90-point team, but a lot's going to be determined what happens in the division, their ability to stay healthy, what happens with the other five teams that I just mentioned before I mentioned Minnesota, whether they're going to go up or down, and that's where it's going to you're going to be able to figure out where the Wild will land as a club going into the 2019 season. Chicago Blackhawks still have some championship pedigree on the squad, and they bring in last year's Vezina Trophy winner, Robin Lehner, who comes over from the Islanders. They also drafted Kirby Dachs from in the first round of the draft. But they do have, even though they do have the championship pedigree with guys like Keith and Taves and Kane, they're not getting any younger. And this division has been difficult for that team, still a viable team in the Blackhawks, to crack the last few years and make the playoffs. And that isn't going to necessarily change with bringing in a guy like Robin Lehner or even the first round draft pick and Dash. They're going to continue to have to claw and fight their way into this, into just even the playoff race, considering how loaded and how top heavy the NL Central is. So that is where the Blackhawks are going to have an interesting decision around trade deadline this season, whether you blow it up and start anew or you move forward with the idea of just trying to continue to interject younger players with the veteran leadership and hope that things break the right way with some of these other teams in the division where you can actually get some traction and footing and get yourself into the playoffs. The Blackhawks are always a dangerous team because of that veteran leadership, that if they are able to make their way into the playoffs, they're a team that can do a lot of damage in the playoffs. Problem for the Blackhawks, though, is this division is going to make it very, very difficult for them to get into the playoffs, and then they're going to have that decision. Do we just go completely young and move on from all of our great veterans that gave us 3 Stanley Cup championships in the course of 5 to 6 years? Or do we believe in our hearts that we can make one more final run and do it again? That's where the Blackhawks are going to have to put rubber to the road in the decision and their decision making and what they're going to do going forward into the next upcoming season. So that was a quick and dirty recap of where teams, all seven teams, are right now. For even more in-depth breakdown, we're going to do that now, as I wanted to give it like a quick little overview, and now I'm going to go even more in-depth of where everybody stands in alphabetical order. Now, the Stars signed Joe Pavelski from San Jose for a 3-year, $7 million deal to give them an additional veteran and a guy that can help the offense as well. Still has some game in him going forward over the next couple of years. They also signed Corey Perry, who in his prime was one of the best forwards in the league. He is not in his prime anymore, but he still could be very effective in Dallas. So Pavelski and Perry are guys that can help a team that already was very, very good be even better this season. I would think what the Stars did was they brought in veteran leadership to basically bolster improven scorers in this league, to bolster what they already have. So I thought what they did was absolutely excellent in regards to their hopes and their efforts of winning the division and also going deep this season into the playoffs. The Avalanche were hoping to get Artemi Panarin, but as we all know, he went with the Rangers. They bring in Andrei Burakovsky as a winger. They also signed Jonas Donskoy, as we mentioned a few minutes ago in the podcast. And they get Pierre-Édouard Bellemare also to give them some depth on their lines. But trading for Nazem Kadri was a shrewd move. Toronto needed to get Kadri off their books and kind of probably move on from a lot of drama that Kadri brings, but Kadri does bring you grit. Everyone hates Kadri unless he's on your team, so he will help Colorado, no question, in this highly contested division. So I do like some of the moves that the Avalanche made. I know I said I was going alphabetical order, but I'm just kind of not going alphabetical order. We already talked about the Predators' move to bring in Duchene. They lose Subban for cap space to make that happen. So Subban was traded away to bring in Matt Duchene. They also, I believe, bring in some new life with Duchene coming in. And Nashville had all the hopes after making a Stanley Cup final a few years ago to be a team that would end up being the team of the Western Conference for the next 5 to 7 years. Unfortunately for Nashville, they haven't been back to the Stanley Cup final, and they seem to have lost traction in the division. I think a move like Duchene will be just what the doctor ordered and getting in regards to giving them energy to energize, but also repolish the team and their efforts of making the playoffs. So I thought that was a very important and critical move in this upcoming offseason. The St. Louis Blues were, they pretty much stayed pat. They get Carl Gunnarsson back at 2 years, $1.75 million. They basically, again, were focused on keeping the team together, the same nucleus that worked so well last season. Question is, can that continue to work going into the next season? Can they continue to get the play from O'Reilly and Tarasenko and Thomas, and also get the goaltending from Bennington. That's going to be like the major key in regards to what St. Louis does this upcoming offseason, or this upcoming season, excuse me. Chicago, in addition to signing Leonard for that 1 year, $5 million deal, where Leonard and Crawford can split time in between the pipes, because Crawford is still there. They also get Olimata and Calvin DeHaan. It's a better team, but again, this is a very difficult division. I just don't see it at this moment, but you can't sleep on Chicago. And again, the big question with them is, do they just finally decide it's time to move on from a lot of these older high-priced players and start anew with a young squad? That's going to be the major question hovering over the Blackhawks as the trade deadline approaches, if they're stuck in sixth, fifth, or last place. If they're in fifth place, they might stick it out if they're within striking distance and might even try to add to make one last run with this group in the playoffs, but that's going to be their big question in regards to what they end up doing going into as the season progresses for them. Winnipeg have to sign or at least get new deals for Patrick Laine and Kyle Connor. Those are big button issues, but also will put them really up against it in the salary cap. So that's why there has been talk on maybe they'll move on from one or both and make a trade that can help them in the near future with the salary cap. But it is a team that's kind of lost traction, much like Nashville, as the notable team in this division, considering St. Louis winning the championship and the improvements of the Avalanche and the Stars. So that's something that Winnipeg's going to have to worry about. Losing Jacob Trouba is a big loss. And they also lost Tyler Myers. And although there's still a lot of talent there, they have definitely not improved. They've definitely slid backwards, and I'm not sure. I'd have to say that they were one of the losers of this offseason, and it's going to be interesting to see what they do going forward. Minnesota, along with the deal for Zuccarello, bringing Ryan Hartman as well. I thought the Zuccarello deal was a little bit too much. 5 years, $6 million is a lot for a player that's a good player, but 5 years for a guy that is in his 30s, they might end up regretting that contract halfway through. We'll see. And I don't really know if that gets you in the conversation, not only as one of the teams that can win this division, but also a team that could make a serious run deep into May and in June. We'll see. I truly believe that anybody in this division can win this division. But I don't see Minnesota doing it, though. But maybe they'll prove me wrong. Who knows? Anyways, that was a little breakdown of offseason moves in the National Hockey League Central Division. And we will be back in episode 4, where we will finish our little offseason recap with the Pacific Division. So I hope you, if you haven't subscribed to this podcast, Game Day Cube NHL Show, and although we're in the off season, so that's why I'm doing these recaps, this show will definitely heat up as we move towards the season. And during the season, we'll do a lot of cool things around the National Hockey League and in hockey in general. So I hope you get the chance. If not, hit that subscribe button. Subscribe to this podcast. Subscribe to all of the podcasts part of the Game Day Cube universe. You can find out more information on GameDayCube.com. I'm Isaac E., and I hope you have a great week. I am signing off again. We'll be back with Episode 4 in short order with the Pacific Division offseason recap. Until then, arrivederci.